So good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming on this last day, second to last session. Again, my name is Rebecca Hassan, and I am a childhood obesity researcher. So some of you may wonder, how does that relate to cancer risk? But we have done a lot of research in African American and Latino youth and how obesity in childhood is associated with long-term cancer risk, particularly prostate, breast, myeloma, and colorectal cancers. So we're looking at how not only just ethnic differences that we see between African American and Latino youth in cancer risk, but how does the social environment contribute to those differences that we see. So today I'm going to focus primarily on the research that we did that looks at the effects of culture and how culture may be related to stress and certainly related to cancer risk through inflammatory pathways in Latino youth. So to get started, I'm sure you all have seen this slide several times, but we know that African American and Latino youth have much higher rates of obesity compared to their non-Hispanic white counterparts, particularly when you look at Latino boys, that they have very high rates, and then African American girls. And we know that this increased obesity in adults is associated with increased insulin resistance, but we also see the same thing in children. So this is data in children with white, black, and Latino youth, to where you see insulin concentrations during an intravenous glucose tolerance test. And you can see that insulin is in higher circulation in Latino and African American kids compared to their white counterparts. So the combination of these two have both insulin resistance and obesity has been associated with long-term cancer risk in both adults and in kids. Now, it used to just be thought that it was during that adult period, but we're now seeing that particularly in kids during the pubertal years, when it is a very susceptible age or time period in a person's life, that both obesity and increased inflammation, IGF, all of these risk factors can lead to long-term cancer risk or cancer risk later on in life. So what are some of the biological pathways that have been identified that are associated with obesity and insulin resistance in cancer? Well, one is just looking at insulin resistance itself. We know that insulin is a hormone that increases growth, that it does have anabolic properties. And so in situations where you might have differences or problems with cell death, that you could, it will promote, increased insulin will promote cell growth, particularly tumor cells in the presence of a lot of insulin. Another pathway is the insulin growth factor. So again, if you listen to the name, insulin growth factor has been associated with obesity and insulin resistance in a wide variety of obesity-related cancers later on in life. But for particularly for, I think, for Latino populations, we do see that inflammation is an important characteristic associated with increased obesity in this population. And so research from our laboratory showed that there are dramatic ethnic differences in these cancer-related metabolic pathways between African Americans and Latinos. Specifically, when we look at Latinos, we see that they tend to, even at the same BMI or BMI percentile, tend to have higher rates of visceral fat, liver fat, and inflammation compared to their African American counterparts. And this is, so even though both groups have increased cancer risk, it seems that the pathophysiology of these obesity-related cancers varies dramatically. So our next step was to try to understand why does this occur. Understanding that ethnicity and race are social constructs rather than biological constructs, we were wondering how does the social environment contribute to these different metabolic pathways that we see. And so what we did was we looked at things like insulin concentrations or hyperinsulinemia, IGF-1, and inflammation, so those three different pathways that I just showed you, we're examining how much does behavior contribute to this increased cancer risk and how much do actual biological factors such as fat mass, fat-free mass, and level of maturation. And we see here that in all three different pathways that behavior and biology explained much lower, less than 50% of the variation in this increased cancer risk, and that there is over 50% is explained by unknown variables or not the non-traditional variables. So this is why we started to look at things in the social environment that may contribute to this increased cancer risk in Latino youth. So we know that the social environment, there's a lot of literature and the stress literature that shows that there's a direct link between the social environment and cancer risk across different populations, that stressors such as social isolation, negative life events, and socioeconomic burden can all increase neuroendocrine activity, leading to increased secretion of cortisol, epinephrine, norepinephrine, that then leads to reductions in immune function, increased inflammation, and increased risk for cancer. And this has been shown in both cancer initiation and cancer progression. So if we look at cortisol in particular, there's a lot of literature that suggests that cortisol is associated with increased fat accumulation, particularly visceral fat, hyperinsulinemia or increased insulin concentrations, and inflammation. And some of our previous research has shown, particularly in Latino youth who are obese, that increased cortisol, the change in cortisol, or the increase in cortisol was associated with increased insulin concentrations in these youth. So we do know that cortisol, a biomarker for stress, is associated with increased metabolic risk factors for cancer. So what are some of the social variables that are associated with this increased stress or increased cortisol that we see in Latino youth? And there's a wide variety of literature that has focused on socioeconomic position, discrimination, and social isolation, that all of these variables have been associated with increased stress in Latino youth and adults and is associated with increased obesity, insulin resistance, and inflammation. So if we look at our pathways, we know that there are a variety of pathways by which these social environmental factors can influence health or influence cancer risk. And we, again, a lot of the literature is focused on these factors, and some more literature is beginning to emerge in terms of acculturation or the effects of culture. So how I'm defining culture for this presentation is the attitudes, values, customs, or beliefs and behaviors of an individual or subgroup of a population residing in a multicultural society. So this is taken from the psychology literature and is really talking about the psychological changes or responses to living in a multicultural environment. And we know that particularly with immigrant populations, or more specifically in this case, Latino or Hispanic culture, that there is a process of acculturation and enculturation. So a process or acculturation can be defined as a process in which members of one ethnic group adopts new attitudes and behaviors from the new culture. And enculturation is a process by which immigrant families socialize their children in practices, values, and identifications of their own culture. Now, we do know that with different cultural orientations or acculturation, that it isn't just an either or, that across different populations, you can have four different categories, as John Berry and Jennifer Unger have described in their research, that you can integrate both cultures. It's not just maintaining your own family's culture or rejecting the mainstream culture, but you can have an integration or you can also be marginalized from both cultures. So looking at it across in a multidisciplinary way or a multidimensional way may give us a better insight as to how culture can impact health or cancer risk. So we know from the acculturation literature in adults that acculturation to the U.S. has been associated with both increased and decreased cancer risk. So some literature shows that acculturation is associated with reduced insulin resistance, while others have shown that it's associated with increased obesity risk, decreased fruit intake, and increased fat and sugar intake. In kids, again, we also see that acculturation to the U.S., mainly from a behavioral standpoint, is associated with decreased participation in physical activity and increased fast food consumption. So the literature isn't quite clear in terms of these metabolic or behavioral risk factors for cancer, but we were interested in, again, trying to understand how does this cultural variable influence directly these inflammatory pathways. So again, most of the literature in adults is focused on behavior and obesity. What it hasn't shown is how does socioeconomic position interact with culture. So we do know that based on an individual's socioeconomic standing in their own family or in a neighborhood, that their culture can vary across socioeconomic positions. But most of the literature is only focused on looking at culture or socioeconomic position and not both. We also showed previously, which I'm not showing today, that in our group of Latino youth, that acculturation or marginalization from both the mainstream American culture and their family's culture was associated with increased insulin resistance. And part of that was due to living in a higher socioeconomic position household as opposed to a lower. So these kids that lived in a high SES family or neighborhood experienced more marginalization, which was associated with increased insulin resistance. But what we don't know is, particularly when relating to cancer risk, how does culture and socioeconomic status, how is it associated with inflammation? So the purpose of this study that I'm going to present today is just preliminary data, but we are examining the relationships between the psychological aspects of culture and markers of inflammation in overweight and obese Latino youth. And we have two major hypotheses. One, that integration into mainstream American culture while maintaining aspects of their own family's culture would be associated with decreased inflammation. So this would be a healthier cultural orientation, whereas previous literature has shown that marginalization from both cultures would be associated with increased inflammation or increased cancer risk. And again, looking at this independent of behavior. So we have physical activity and diet that we used as covariates in our model, and we're predicting that these relationships would be associated with more of a stress pathway as opposed to a behavioral pathway. So the measures that we use the AHIMSA questionnaire, or Acculturation Habits and Interests Multicultural Scale for Adolescent questionnaire. This was developed in a group of 315 adolescents in the greater Los Angeles area using African American, Latino, and Asian youth. And we looked at parental education as our measure of socioeconomic position, and these are our markers of low-grade inflammation. And all of these measures of inflammation have been associated with obesity-related cancers in adulthood. So here, to give you some more information about the acculturation questionnaire, it is comprised of 8 different items. And just to read a few, it focuses on the types of food that an individual would eat, my best friends are from, the people I fit in with best are from. So it's dealing with both the behavioral and belief and attitudes aspects of culture. And the responses, there are 4 different responses that the child could have to this questionnaire. So if you ask the question, the foods that I primarily eat are from the U.S., that is associated with assimilation, or was categorized as assimilation, that the majority of their culture was coming from mainstream American culture. If they said the country my family is from, that is associated with separation, or they have a predominant cultural identity that is associated with their own family's culture, and not adapting mainstream American cultural orientation. Both was associated with or categorized as integration, and neither was categorized as marginalization. So our statistical analysis, we use multivariate regression models and partial correlations to explore the relationships between acculturation subscales and inflammatory markers. And the covariates that we used was a level of maturation, fat-free mass, fat mass, sex or gender, physical activity, diet, and socioeconomic position or parental education. So here is just basic characteristics of the sample that we had. So the Latino youth that were included in our study were predominantly from low, middle to low socioeconomic position households. And this was again part of the parental education and occupation scores that we had from the parents. And then in terms of the acculturation, the largest identity that we saw that was displayed in our children's data was separation. So 61% of the kids identified with this separation, or most of their culture was coming from their own families' culture as opposed to mainstream American culture. Now again, this all of the data was collected in the greater Los Angeles area, so this could be, and we do know that Los Angeles has 44% Latino, so there is a much larger community. If you were to take this measure in somewhere else like Chicago or Nebraska, you would probably see very different cultural orientations. So I just want to make sure that everyone knows that this is probably very region specific. So here we have our results. We did not see any relationships between assimilation and separation for our Latino kids, but we did see when we looked at one inflammatory marker that integration or balancing both cultures was associated with increased PAI1 or plasminogen activator inhibitory 1. And this factor has been associated with increased breast cancer risk in adulthood. So again, this would be integration would be associated with increased cancer risk. For marginalization, we saw mixed results, which was quite interesting. We saw that that marginalization, or kids who felt that they were marginalized from both cultures, was associated with increased HGF or hepatic growth factor, which is again has been associated with increased cancer risk, and decreased adiponectin. Adiponectin is an insulin sensitizer. It's released from the adipose tissue, and lower levels of adiponectin again has been associated with increased cancer risk. In contrast, the same cultural variable was associated with reductions in inflammation, so lower PAI1 and lower resistant, both of those being associated with cancer risk. So there isn't a clear story with the cultural identity of marginalization, which was very interesting to us. In terms of educational attainment, we wanted to look at that independent, and we did see, similar to our previous literature, that interleukin-6, which is a cancer-related inflammatory marker, was positively associated with educational attainment. So this is a bit counterintuitive, because you would think with higher socioeconomic position there would be a lower cancer risk, but here we're seeing the inverse. And we went back to see what was going on here. Again, we saw that in a higher SES families, the Latino children are experiencing more marginalization. So to summarize, integration, in contrast to our hypothesis, again, we had thought integration would result in lower cancer risk because it would be a less stressful cultural orientation, but we in fact saw that it may not be as less stressful, it actually may be more stressful trying to balance both cultures at the same time. Marginalization, there wasn't a clear story there, and I think this is an important finding because, we need to figure out what is going on, what does marginalization actually mean for these children? Is it that they are experiencing more social isolation from their culture, or that they are hanging out with different kids from different cultures? So, this is Los Angeles, and there's about, 14% African American, so these kids may be hanging out with African American youth, they may be hanging out with Asian youth. That it doesn't necessarily mean that marginalization is a bad cultural orientation, but we do need more literature to understand that. And finally, higher educational attainment was associated with increased cancer risk. So again, understanding what is the social and cultural environment, or what are the risks associated with increased mobility of the family, are there different stressors that Latino kids come into contact with that could impact their health? So I do want to make the limitations clear that this was a small study. It was about 64 Latino youth, and it's only in one region of the United States, Los Angeles. It was cross-sectional in nature, and there were several different factors that could also be explaining these relationships that we're seeing. But I do think it gives us some pilot data to where we can build on for longitudinal studies, seeing how does these cultural factors impact health or inflammation and cancer risk over time. So again, just to conclude, Latino youth develop an adaptive cultural styles in response to living in a multicultural and race-conscious society, which may increase resilience or vulnerability to obesity-related diseases such as these different types of cancers. That it's not that one cultural orientation is positive and another is negative, but we need to explore more what do these actually mean and what is in their environment that may be shaping their cultural orientations or cultural styles. That integrating two cultures may lead to increased psychological stress and subsequent increases in inflammation. Again, we co-varied for behavior, so it is our hypothesis that these were working through stress mechanisms, that these kids may be experiencing more stress, and that this is associated with increased inflammation. And more qualitative data is needed to understand better the association between marginalization and inflammation in youth. So I have about 30 seconds left, but I just want to make the point that I think it's important, particularly I'm a physiologist by training, and we primarily always look at biology and behavior, but it is very important to understand how these social contextual factors can directly impact health outcomes in our youth that may be independent of behavior. And that we also need to develop behavioral interventions and public policies to adequately address and reduce socioeconomic and sociocultural risk factors associated with increased long-term risk, cancer risk in Latino youth. So to conclude, we know that all four of these factors may be associated with inflammation. From previous literature, we do know that discrimination, socioeconomic position, and social isolation is associated with increased inflammation. And we now have some preliminary data that culture may impact that as well, or mediate that relationship. We want to continue to look at the interactions between these variables to see if what parts of culture, particularly when we're looking at marginalization, is that associated with social isolation or different forms of discrimination that may be increasing stress in these kids. So before I conclude, these are my list of collaborators that I worked with at both USC and UCSF where this data was collected. This is our funding sources. And I'll be happy to take your questions at the end. Thank you.